はい、はい、ladies and gentlemen。Yeah, Rush starting at what? The hell did Rush start at noon? When's Rush start?
11 o'clock.
Yeah, Rush starting at 11. You got Joe at 5. You had Paul Brand filling in
Joe
for Jason
five.
Lewis. When the hell's Joe?
Joe's at 2.
Paul, I never listen to talk radio. I hate talk radio. All right. Conservative radio officially comes to an end! It's over! It's over for the day. It's over. So you guys who've been screaming all day, go out and have a beer or something, for God's sakes. The endless whining of America. All right. Had to get that off my chest. Day after day after day, the same thing! What the hell are you people gonna do when your guy gets in, huh? What are you gonna have to complain about? Doesn't CCO have on a good political show right now? Tune to them. 830, get the heck over there! Go on! Paul Brand walked into a hornet's nest tonight. A hornet's nest! I'm going to talk about... What am I going to talk about? I'm going to talk about coddling prisoners and how this country went to hell in the 1960s and went to hell in the 1960s and we have never recovered. We have never recovered. I got half a mind of pack a renter truck with explosives and blow the hell out of this government! We need a coup d'etat! We need it now! It's open season on politicians! Gun them down! Gun them down! Make another pot of coffee for me, or a cot of coffee, whatever the hell you make there. I'm just getting warmed up. Communists! 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 Had to get a few things off my chest.
And here's Doug before we go to the news at AM 1500 KSTP. How you doing, Doug?
Not too bad, Brian. I know exactly what that fella's talking about. It's that kind of passion that's missing from a lot of the force today. I was a cop in Buckman for years, which is obviously a city you're unaware of here in central Minnesota.
How far are you from Minneapolis, St. Paul?
We're about 2 hours west.
Okay.
Not as big a town as Minneapolis, obviously, but I'll tell you something. The way I see it, you hit them after they're cuffed, sometimes simply to avoid getting popped yourself. You hit some of these guys when they're not cuffed, and that's exactly when your life's in danger. Sometimes a SWAT after they're handcuffed ain't the worst thing in the world as far as sending a message without putting yourself in danger, and I don't mind that at all. I tell you, sometimes jail isn't punishment.
Yeah.
It's a free ride. You want to teach them a little something. Sometimes one to the chin isn't the worst thing in the world. I think they give up their rights as soon as they start committing some of these crimes, and I don't know why anybody's feeling sorry for some St. Thomas student who got popped. Spent a little time at that college in my day. Someone should have cuffed and slapped half the students enrolled there. Bunch of cocky little business students. Half of them still nursing at their mama's breast, as far as I'm concerned. So I don't think we ought to be worried about Mike as much as getting the ticker tape out and parading that son of a gun through downtown Minneapolis tomorrow.
Well, I tell you, judging from the calls this evening, it seems to be the general feeling of a majority of people. And from the only source of information that I have, at least tangible and in print, is from the newspaper. I don't get the way I get the story here is that this whole business of the beat up in the back of the squad car and so on, that's just an allegation, and it's not something that has been
beat him up. He should have killed him
by anyone. The idea that there was I think the story said something about a cook who was an eyewitness, and according to Mike's dad, that never happened. You got 300-400 people in a nightclub, and they're all drunk as a skunk, and they can't even see this guy's got a uniform on, and they're jumping him and so on. It's a rather fantastic to me that this thing has actually, except for the fact that the administration didn't seem to back this guy and wound up paying out seven-figure settlement fees and attorney's fees and court costs and all the rest. They pretty much shot themselves in the foot, if you don't mind the pun.
Well, let me ask you, Brian. I'm not sure I understand entirely where you stand on this thing. So the guy was laid out in the back of a squad car. What I'm saying is, so what?
Well, I suppose that
Attaboy, Tommy!
I'm not in a position to be able to make a specific statement on that. From a purely idealistic standpoint, it seems to me that, when a cop has got a guy cuffed and he's in the back of the squad car, any further lessons that he's going to be taught, he's pretty much at the mercy of the
Coddler.
The system.
Coddler!
He's set up to take care of him. He's
Coddler!
Going to he's going to go to jail.
But
he's
going to if more guys were worried about what was going to happen to him when they were cuffed in the back of a squad car, the crime rate would plummet.
Oh, I don't doubt that for a second.
What about Tommy?
But trying to reflect the other side of the coin, either as devil's advocate or from a libertarian perspective, I'm sitting here saying, well, if you have laws that aren't enforced, then you have to start enforcing them. And if the problem is, for example, with recidivism, that the crimes that we have and the crime rate that we have here in Washington, D.C., which, as you know, is no sterling example of law and order. If you have laws that aren't being enforced, you've got to start enforcing them. I'm trying to believe that it would take a little bit of time, if especially considering the treatment you get in the press for some of the things that you're suggesting to have some long-term benefits. It's like they say, find a you get something that's foolproof, then they'll just build a better fool. Or find a smarter idiot or something along that.
What the hell does that mean?
It'll just escalate is what I'm trying to get to.
Let me tell you something, Brian. I went to a military high school here in the cities, and the people that went into insurance and went into being attorneys or went on to medical school were by and large people who had never hit anyone in their life, never popped anyone in their life, and that was fine. They didn't want to be a cop, and I understand that. That mm-hmm. whole world was foreign to them. And then there were those of us who didn't mind mixing it up now and again. In fact, we kind of enjoyed it. Not from a purely sadistic standpoint.
What the hell it is?
I mean, if it had to be done, by golly, we were in there and going to do it.
Is that a boy?
And I'll tell you, those of us that went into police work never thought we'd see a day when you couldn't occasionally use a little, a roundhouse now and again. I mean, in the Old West, that was done daily. No
one
said a thing about it.
I understand, and I don't entirely disagree. I think the only the problem you run into is, it's one of those things where just for the sake of our discussion here, I would not doubt your judgment. I would not doubt your tolerance. But you get into some of these other areas.
You wouldn't?
Take, for example, I'll just give you a quick example. We're going to have to go to the news.
I'm insane.
Here in Washington, D.C., because they had such difficulty in hiring and recruiting policemen, they fudged the test scores. They did not do background checks. And as it turned out, they had guys walking around in uniform with guns out on the street that had felony records. and you know, and that did not qualify even from the even from passing the most minimal passing level on the entrance exam to become a policeman. Now, if we were to tolerate or have a greater toleration for allowing policemen to administer some on-the-scenes justice, as we're talking about here, especially with some real bad guys who are out of line and all the rest, then and you started to spread that around the countryside, by the time it got here to Washington, D.C., I'd have a real hard time condoning the fact that some felon, you know, who only got the job because some guys higher up had to meet
felons.
A particular quota, was out there whipping up on people,
yeah.
And we were looking the other way, I think that would present a serious problem.
So, in other words, what you're saying is if you've got a guy who's a troublemaker, you don't want him on the force. And what I'm saying is we need a force of troublemakers.
That a boy, Tommy.
Well, it's an interesting debate, and it would be a great great subject for us to kick around here. Unfortunately, at the moment, I'm about 5 minutes late for the news. And
people are apathetic. They just don't get involved.
No one is willing to take a stand anymore.
Nobody cares. The country's gone to hell in a handbasket.